Well, good morning, everyone. It's lovely to see nearly over 100 of us here and more joining on the internet as well. Hello to those who are watching on the YouTube channel and also listening. Perhaps back on the phone service, announcement about the phone service, we are bringing that to a close. Our intention is, and we're replacing it with something better, maybe CDs. So if you need that, be in touch, and already we're delivering a couple out to those who need it. A couple of announcements to bring to everybody's attention. Oh, let's see now. Let's go through the week and then we'll think about further stuff. Week ahead, yes, Hub's happening on Tuesday, and also Open Door and Women's Zone. Midweek on Wednesday at 8 p.m. Not quite sure what we're doing there, but it'll be probably something in 1 Samuel. The following Sunday, that's the big one I really want to bring to everybody's attention. Following Sunday, I think there's something happening with the Keen next week. A coronation on Saturday, and then on the Sunday in our church, what we're planning to do after the morning worship, after morning service, we are going to have a coronation picnic to be held after morning worship. So that's next Sunday, and it is a bring your own picnic. So sign up, let us know that you're coming, so that helps us with getting tables out and whatnot across in the minor hall. And maybe we might even put up some bunting like we did for the Jubilee. So let us know that you're coming, but bring your own picnic. And if you don't have food, and say you come next week, and even you're sitting here and you're hearing this announcement, it's not going in, and you come next week and you still want to come to the picnic, don't worry, I'm sure there'll be lots more food, no doubt. You can share with somebody else's picnic. But that's next Sunday. We'd love to see you there. A nice chance for us as a church family to come together and mark the coronation together. So that's Sunday the 7th of May. Note the planning and preparation evening for Kids Club on Thursday the 11th of May at 7:30. It's probably over in the Minor Hall. We need kitchen roll tubes for a craft. So if you have any, you know the way we're supposed to be recycling them and whatnot. You could recycle them and bring them to us, and we will use kitchen roll tubes for craft. That would be brilliant. If you could bring them along that Thursday the 11th. Or if you can't make Thursday the 11th, well, leave them sitting somewhere and we'll so receive, and that would be useful. Note YF, it's the 2nd and the 4th Sundays of the month of May. Isn't that right? 2nd and the 4th Sundays of the month of May. I think that suits leaders slightly and young people better for this month, given the bank holidays and whatnot. So 2nd and 4th Sundays of the month. That's plenty. That's all the announcements. Let me call us to worship from Psalm 96. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord and bless his name. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For the gods of all the peoples are worthless idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the people. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due to his name. Bring an offering. Come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Yes, the world is established. It shall never be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens be glad and let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the fields exult and everything in it. Then all the trees of the forest shall sing for joy before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He judges the world in righteousness and the peoples in his faithfulness. We gather, we want to sing to the Lord a new song. We're going to sing, By Faith We See the Hand of God. Let's stand and sing, shall we?
We see the hand.
Let's continue, shall we, and join our hearts together in prayer. Let's pray, shall we? Father, we gather a people here this morning, people of faith, a people who believe that which you said to us in your word, that it is true, that you promised to save us. You promised to send your Messiah, the one who would take our sins there on the cross. On the day, on the third day, he would rise again. Lord, all the things that you have promised, you have kept. Lord, all the promises still to come, that one day you will come and judge the world. Lord, so we believe with faith. Lord, we know this to be true. We don't just know it, O Lord, we lean upon it. Lord, even this last week, Lord, perhaps for those who grieve, who mourn, Lord, for those who have been busy, for those who have not been well in hospital, Lord, for those for whom the past week seems like a blur, yet, Lord, by faith, Lord, we receive that which you would have for us. We trust, and Lord, you carry us through. And here you bring us, O Lord, to this Sabbath day, this Sunday, where we can gather to sing a new song to you. When we gather to turn our eyes from, Lord, ourselves, turn our eyes from our situations, and turn our eyes to you, and be reminded of what you have done for us, Lord, for that great exchange that you brought about in Christ Jesus. There, all our sins, debited, O Lord, to the account of Christ, our great high priest, our mediator, our sacrifice, and the righteousness of Christ, all the good work indeed that he has done, that perfect work, Lord, as if we had lived it, credited to us. Oh, Lord, what a truth the gospel is, and what good news it is for us here who, Lord, are burdened, for us here who are weary, for us here who are, Lord, expectant and in need of a Savior. Oh, Lord, we pray that in our Christian walk, Lord, that you would so strengthen us this morning. Be reminded, oh, Lord, of our Savior, the one we have faith in. Lord, forgive us for the times in which in our life, Lord, even recently perhaps, Lord, where we have not been faith-filled, Lord, when we've been rather faithless, when we've attempted to live on our own strength, when we've not confessed of our wrongdoings, when we've gone after wrongdoing. Lord, how, Lord, perhaps the easiest thing upsets us. Lord, we need that forgiveness that flows from Calvary. Lord, where tears, O Lord, of repentance, Lord, need to be, Lord, resting upon Jesus Christ. Lord, we have no covering of our own. We have no way to work out our own righteousness. We repent and we come to you. Lord, we ask that you so would forgive us of our sins. O Lord, and please place upon even us that robe of righteousness and remind us of that which covers us in Christ. Lord, we pray that this service we would be enabled from the youngest to the eldest, O Lord, to worship you. Remember our friends here. Lord, we remember those who are watching at home and listening perhaps back on CD. Lord, we thank you that each one of us need to hear, O Lord, of the debt of our sin and the one who has paid that debt, the Lord Jesus, and have faith in him. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. We read through God's word here, and we're in the book of Romans at the moment. Romans 5. I'm going to read the first 11 verses. It's great. I love, it's not just sometimes, but so often our reading that we just sort of work through chapter by chapter Romans this season ties into that which we're thinking about in the sermon. And for us, we're thinking this morning about faith in Hebrews 11, but Romans 5 speaks to the peace with God through faith. Let's hear what the Apostle Paul says in Romans 5 of faith. Verse 1, therefore we have been justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who's been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. The one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, one would even dare to die. But God showed his love for us, that in while we were sinners, still sinners, Christ died for us. Therefore, since we have been now justified by his blood, much more we shall be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. Much more than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, whom we have now received reconciliation. Amen. We thank the Lord for his word to us, his word of faith, of our justifying by faith. Boys and girls, as we listen this morning, we're talking about faith. Faith. Now, I reckon we come to church each week, and sometimes we hear lots of words that kind of come up again and again. And sometimes we may not know exactly what those words mean. Faith. Faith. We hear this word again and again. But what does it mean? What does it mean? Well, the person who wrote the letter to Hebrews that we're thinking about in church, he's just started a page in his letter where he talks lots about faith. And over the next couple of weeks, as myself and Martin go through this, we're going to be talking about faith. So I thought we would start this page in Hebrews, start this time in chapter 11, and think about what this word faith means, what this word faith means. Now, I have my rucksack with me, and I want to start with a guessing game. A guessing game, boys and girls. All right, you up for a guessing game? Yeah? Okay. Any ideas what might be in my bag? Any guesses? Do you think, is it a toy maybe? Yeah, any idea? Phoebe, what do you think? Oh, you think my iPad's in here? Okay, right, well, okay. Any other guesses? What, sorry, Lincoln? A water bottle, oh, that would be a good thing for a rucksack, yes. I often carry in my rucksack an iPad and a water bottle, making sure that the water bottle is closed because you don't want to get water over any electronics. Any other guesses? Joshua, what do you got? I think sometimes you in your rucksack likes to carry a toy, don't you? Isn't that right? Some of us have a toy with us at the moment. Well, you can have guesses, can't you, about what's in here? But how do you know for sure what's in my rucksack? What's in here? Well, how are you going to know for sure? Do you think I should take it out and show you? Do you think I should take it out? Well, maybe before the end, before you go to crash, I will show you and you can see. But for now, do you want me to tell you what I think's in, what I know's in there? You're going to have to trust me. In here, there are 10, I think, 10 bags of sweeties. And in the little bags of sweeties, there are laces, there are gummy bears, there's marshmallows, those little teeth, you know those little teeth thing, boys and girls, yeah? Do you believe me? Phoebe, does anyone else believe me? I see some nodding heads. Well, maybe I could offer a wee bit more that you might believe me. Let's see. I could tell you that Jenny and I made them this morning. Well, it's more I said this is what I wanted to do, and then Jenny made them up from packs that were given by our Auntie Anna. And we had some sweeties from Auntie Anna, and they were in the cupboard. And so we thought we would make them up. And I can tell you that there was 10 of them. They're in little red and white bags. Oh, it smells lovely. I could tell you that. Mm. Do you believe me now? Yeah. Well, you haven't seen them yet, have you? You haven't seen them yet. You might know, and maybe it does sound like I'm telling the truth and I know what I'm talking about, and there may well be these bags here. You haven't seen them yet, but you can trust and I can tell you about it and you can know perhaps. But the best is still to come. Because when you come out, after we're going to sing our song soon, and you're going to come out, boys and girls, and where do you go? You go to creche, don't you? And I'll come down and I'll open up my rucksack and you're going to have to trust and put your hand in and get a sweetie bag. And don't worry, some of the boys and girls maybe who are staying in, maybe we might have one or two left over for you as well afterwards. Are you going to eat them then at creche? Oh no, see, now you are trusting me, huh? See, we are trusting. Well, this is a little bit like faith. This is faith. Knowing and believing that it's true, and then even leaning in and receiving and taking. The author of the letter of Hebrews, boys and girls, talks about faith in God. God speaks and tells us of his truth in his word, and he knows that we can't see God. He knows that we can't see God like we would normally see around us and touch and hear. But God yet has spoken in his word, the Bible, and he has told us, boys and girls, about his son, who saves us from our sins as we trust in him. And chapter 11 talks all about, and you'll hear this again next week and the week after, all about them people of the Old Testament who trusted in God, even though they hadn't received. They trusted in what he had promised, that God would promise what he would give, that God would save them from their sins. And they believed it is true, and they lived their whole lives, boys and girls, knowing, trusting that God would do as he said he would do, and he would provide a gift of salvation, faith. And it's the same faith for you and me, the same faith for our mummies or daddies, our grannies or grandas, for our friends here at Craigie Hill. We're called, boys and girls, to have faith in God, faith in his son, the Lord Jesus. Trust that God has done what he said he would do and sent the Lord Jesus to save their people from their sins, to make us right with God through his doing and his dying. Trust knows this is true, but it's more. It responds to Jesus. It reaches in, it leans on him, and lives our whole lives resting on him. And trust goes even further because we trust one day, and I've had to even talk about that promise this past week. We've talked about how Jesus will return or take us to be with himself. Those who trust in him will go to heaven bright. Well, boys and girls, I'm sure you're a little bit anxious to get to your singing of your song and then maybe go into creche. But let's pray first, shall we? Let's pray first. Lord, we ask for that gift of faith. Lord, even as a child, just to take and to receive and that humble and faithful trust upon the Lord Jesus. Lord, what a beautiful and marvelous gift it is. Lord, that we would be a people of faith who know what your word says, who believe it to be true, and who rest our whole lives on that. Lord, that you are a promise-keeping God, that you save us from our sins, and one day you're going to return for us or call us to be with yourself. Help the boys and girls, oh Lord. Help us as we teach the Bible at creche, at Sunday school, and church, and our organizations, Lord, to impart the lovely truths of what you have done and how all the promises of God are yes and amen in Jesus Christ. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now we're going to sing our hymn for you, boys and girls, One More Step Along the World I Go. Let's stand and sing.
Thank you.
There we go. What did they say in the, was it the Late Late Show? There's one for everyone in the audience. I'm not sure, quite sure there'll be one for a sweetie for everybody in the audience, as it were, but maybe we might have something. I think there was some sweeties left. We might have a few of them at tea and coffee time. Anyway, now let's read from God's Word, Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. We'll read the first seven verses of Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 and by faith, this mighty chapter of the book of Hebrews. We'll read the first seven verses. The pre-antiluvian, as it were, part of chapter 11, before the flood, all the way up to Noah. Verse 1. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. By faith Enoch was taken up that so that he should not see death. And he was not found because God had taken him. Now before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. Amen. And we thank the Lord for his word to us. We're going to think about that. And just after we sing from his word, from Psalm 87, I wonder as we sing this, is it true of us that we can say all my fountains are in her? The final verse of Psalm 87. Born in Zion, God will enter in the people's register. They will sing as they make music. All my fountains are in her. All our fountains, all our hope, all our trust in the Lord Jesus, who will bring us to Zion, city of God, in the new heavens and the new earth. Let's stand to sing, shall we? Thank you. Let's pray, shall we? Let's pray before we come to the Word. Oh Lord, what great and wondrous days are ahead of us in Zion. Oh Lord, around indeed and gathered around that fountain of life. Lord, how our hope springs indeed eternal for what Christ has done for us. And Lord, we have faith that these things are so. And Lord, we pray that as we think about faith here this morning in Hebrews 11, that so our faith would be encouraged. And so we would see the truth and reality of your word. Indeed, we would live and lean our whole lives upon this work of Christ. Indeed, this person of Christ, that he would be the object of our faith, him and him alone. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, we come in Hebrews 11 to one of the best-known chapters. I would say actually the best-known chapter in the book of Hebrews. Indeed, actually, probably for some preachers, this is the entirety of their Hebrews series. They just go to Hebrews 11 and maybe over many, many weeks go through it in great detail. I'm not planning to do quite that. I think we'll divide the chapter up into four-ish chunks. We'll see how we go. But four chunks up to Noah this morning. And then Abraham and Sarah's faith, as the Lord makes covenant with Abraham. And then Isaac to Moses, the giving of the law, and then entry into the promised land. And then verse 32, probably to the end, or maybe even the start of chapter 12, that some more examples and the commendation and summation. So roughly four chapters. And if you're doing your sums right, then well, you'll probably see we'll not finish. I don't think we'll finish Hebrews before the summer break. We'll see. But it's okay. There's no pressure on us. We're in charge. We work our way through Hebrews, and with the first seven verses of chapter 11 before us. This is a chapter that is a roll call of the men and the women who were commended and saved. And it was a salvation not earned because of their faith, but because of the God who had first regard for them, and they responded in faith and trust in his promises. They heard God speak, they heard God's promises, and they responded in faith. They responded in faith and leaned into with action, put their hand in, as it were, and trusted that the Lord would so guide them and keep them. And through the chapter, we're given stories again and again of that faith. Faith and its response and its action. And I want to see three things really for us as we unpack this chapter, unpack these first seven verses even, and there's probably even more. Undoubtedly there's more. There's undoubtedly more that'll be going through your mind as we go through these verses. But there's three I want to think on. What is faith? What is faithful living and dying? And then finally, a faithful response. What is faith? What is faithful living and dying? And then finally, a faithful response. And I hope that our study would refresh our souls and refresh our souls in the glory, the truth of what was begun here in Hebrews 11. So, what is faith? The author finishes the application and the discussion that he's been having on the glorious truths of Christ, our high priest, God's provision. And Martin had taken us to verse 39 there last week, and we were being called to endure. And really, the author here in chapter 11 takes a break before he returns to that call to endurance in chapter 12 and verse 3. He breaks into this marvelous chapter about those who did endure, those who had faith, who trusted, looking to the Lord, who promises and who provides. And this is, well, the Bible is the Word of God, and it's genius, of course. And you can see it here in Hebrews 11. You know, the people who he's initially addressing, these Hebrew Christians who were living, hearing the critiques of Christianity, who were living, hearing, go back, come back to Judaism, come back to the temple. This is a different God that these Christians are preaching. There's a different way to be right to them. That isn't the way. Don't go to there. Don't go to Christianity. Come back to Judaism. And he says, basically takes a whole chapter to say to them, no, you're not right. Those critiques are not right. This is the same gospel. It's the same gospel. It's the same trust in the same God. It's the same one way to be right with God through faith in his promises, the provision of a Messiah, the sacrifice for our sins. He's saying there's no other way. The difference between the old and the new, the difference is that the men and the women of the Old Testament did not have a clear revelation of the object of faith of Christ Jesus. They didn't have as clear a revelation as the Hebrews, as we do now. Because we, of course, we look back. The people of the Old Testament had to look forward. They had types and shadows. Think of it like this. I mean, I'm looking out and I see a few glasses. And I see, I guess, we're all familiar with what the optician does, aren't we? We've all been to, I don't think there's anybody here who hasn't been to the optician. And well, when you go to the optician, of course, now, these days, there's all that fancy computer stuff that does the measurements, doesn't it? Sort of adds a wee puff of air in your eye, and it does zzz, zzz, and depending on your optician, I suppose. I suspect, and it's been a year or two since I've been to the optician, I wear contacts, blind as a bat without them, but probably need to go soon. But anyway, I suspect still at the optician, there's the humble optician's chart on the wall, isn't there? There's still the chart on the wall, you know, the big A and then the little smaller letters getting smaller and smaller. And you have to sit in the chair and you have to try to read these letters. And then no doubt they'll, at least whenever they're with me, they put on glasses and it's all blurry and then they'll say better or worse and gradually it becomes clearer. Isn't that the case? Well, think of it this way. These men and women in the Old Testament, they had blurry sight of God's promised redemption, Jesus Christ. They had blurry sight of him. He was hidden in types and shadows. I mean, he was promised, but in types and shadows and spoke to him. Now, in other points, remember we did a midweek series in Job, and at points there it seemed so clear. What did Job say? I know my Redeemer lives, and he'll vindicate me. At points it seemed so clear, or Psalm 2 and the psalmist David speaks of kissing the Son, lest you die. Points it seems clear. And then at other points, as we've been thinking through in Hebrews, there's these types, there's these shadows. It speaks of the tabernacle, of the sacrifice, of the temple. And it's not just as clear as we have now. And yet, just as you never doubted that there was an optician's chart that you're reading from, it might have been blurry, but you still knew there was an optician's chart. It was there. In the same way, these men and women of the Old Testament, they did not doubt God's promise that he would save them. God's promised redemption. That's faith. They may not have seen as clearly as we do, but they still had the same faith, in the same gospel, in the same object, though hidden in types and shadows in the old. Finally then, John the Baptist, the last of the Old Testament prophets, comes with the revelation of Christ the Messiah. And what does he say? Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And he calls the Son of God. No longer blurred, but revealed. And it's the same faith. They look, in the Old Testament, they look forward, trusting for God's provision to be fulfilled. And we look back, trusting that it was fulfilled. by God's provision of Christ. And we are more blessed. We are more blessed. Did you know that this morning? We are more blessed. I mean, even this morning, we'll see with Noah, God spoke directly to him concerning the flood. And yet we have more. We have more this morning as we sit in our pews in the revelation of God's promised Messiah. He kept his promise. He sent a son. But Abel, Enoch, and Noah this morning, their faith in God and God's promises testify to us. Not that we need to be like them, so to speak, but in that we need to have the same faith in our promised keeping God. And so he opens with this word faith. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. He wants to explain this word, faith. And it's good to be getting here. It's good to begin here. It's good that we're entering a chapter all about faith and that we would have a firm understanding of what faith is. Because for sure, there's some all sorts of popular notions out there about what faith is in our culture around. Well, they'll describe us, they'll describe faith as, well, it's a feeling. Faith's what you sort of kind of feel inside. Faith is a lack of critical thinking. Faith is not thinking. Faith is a failure, they'll say, to engage the grey matter up here. Where people who are soft-headed, that's how the world thinks of faith. It's feeling, not fact. We are led by our heart and we just accept whatever's said to us. And I'm preaching to a bunch of people who just will believe anything. That's not the faith that we see revealed in Scripture and the way the Bible talks about faith. Now, the world may well think that we're the weak group, and the world may well think that they're modern individuals who figured out the truth and figured out the good life, and they don't need anything more than that. But have they actually engaged their grey matter? Have they thought about these things? Have they thought about what truth is? Have they thought about what right and wrong is? And have they thought about what a good life actually is? Or are they just living as robots, mindlessly consuming, producing, chugging through life? They're able to sing "One More Step Along the World I Go," but not with you, just themselves. Without hope, without a vision for the future, without a vision to what God has done in creation, in redemption, and will do as Christ will return, without the spiritual color to life that is blessed by the gift of faith. So what does the author mean by faith? Well, it could be translated trust. Trust. Like I was asking the kids to trust me, in a sense. And then it could be commitment, belief. It is not in itself, it's not a feeling as it were, but it is a trust in something. It has an object, faith. And the classic three things that faith is made up of is knowledge, assurance or conviction, and then agreement. First, knowledge, that's what we're talking about. Verse 3, by faith we understand the universe was created by the word of God, so that what was seen was not made out of things that are visible. Faith has content. Faith has content. It's not a noodly feeling inside us. It has content. It's no good to say to me, I believe. It's no good to say to me, well, I have faith. Because I'll say to you, well, what is your faith in? What do you believe in? What is the thing that you are hoping for? What was promised to you? Our generation is so prone to this misunderstanding. They come with a Disney idea of faith, of spirituality, that all will be well. Almost like a desperate gambler sitting at a slot machine thinking that, well, this time this will be my lucky night. That's not faith as the Bible understands it. It's not feeling. It's facts. It's grounded in a knowledge of what God has said and God has revealed of man, of matters of creation, of redemption, of matters of eternity, of heaven bright. Now, I'm not saying you need to know your Bible cover to cover. Yeah, but you have to begin to know it. You have to begin knowing about that saving knowledge that we read and that we hear and we hear proclaimed from our pulpits, that is the Spirit then pleased to join us in saving union with the object of our faith, the Lord Jesus. Paul says, how can they believe on him of whom they have not heard? How can they hear without a preacher? How can they preach except that they be sent? You need to hear. There's an object. There's content to faith. Secondly, assurance and conviction. It's not just the knowledge God created the world in 6 days, or the Lord God sent his begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have an everlasting life. It's not just knowing John 3 and 16. It's conviction that it is true. It's assurance. The conviction of things not seen, the assurance of things hoped for. Faith has assurance, conviction, that what we are talking about in the Bible, what we read in our Bible, is true. The author in Hebrews holds these two things in parallel. Assurance or substance of things hoped for, conviction or evidence of things not seen. Faith has a certainty that unseen realities are true. Verse 3, the creation, the universe was created by the word of God. We did not, you did not, I did not, none of us did here witness the creation of the world. And yet, it was made by the power of the word of God in 6 days. He spoke and it was, and it was good. As sure as I am standing here, as sure as you see me, so sure are we that God hovered over the waters and spoke and it was good. Faith is not just a knowledge of that, but a belief that it is true and that there is intent in God's creation. Not that we're made for no rhyme or reason, that we're just atoms and molecules bumping off each other mindlessly all the way to that stops when we breathe our last. And there's no rhyme or there's no point to any of this. We are people who believe that there's intent. We're made to glorify God. That there in the Bible, this is the truth of a fall, the truth of everything that we need to believe for our salvation. That's truth not to be divided or to be parsed out where we pick or mix what we want. But truth. Knowledge, there's knowledge, it's faith is has content. It believes it's true. But finally, it's what we hope for. Faith, what we hope for. What we're talking about is for me. It's not just knowledge, not just a conviction that it's true, but faith is what we truthfully believe and rest upon for salvation, the object that we rest upon. I personally trust in Christ, who is now clearly revealed as the object of our faith. We hope in him. The men and women of the Old Testament trusted the God who promised would save. Through his means, though the object hidden and blurred, the substance of faith the same. It's not the Bible knowledge that saved me or Noah. It's not the lovely doctrines of the faith that can save in and of themselves. It's not my Westminster Confession of Faith and the biblical and scriptural arguments that they make from it. They're important. But faith is that embrace of Christ. I trust. I believe. I'm committed to the God who saves me, who sanctifies me, who will glorify me, all because of his Son who died, who rose again for me, and by his Spirit who gives faith and brings me into union with him. My trusting action responds to his first gracious love to me. Faith, to reach in and in response to what God has said, and know it, we can hear that, we can know it to be true. And so we respond. By faith we receive our commendation, which says, if you want life this morning, God's promised, realized in this life and then the next, it is by faith. It is by faith we will see our loved ones again in eternity bright as we trust upon him and as they are saved. Faith. God's promise realized in this life and the next. The sweet surrender to the knowledge of what God has done in Christ. and the assurance that it is true, and to be rested upon for sins forgiven, and life with him now and all the rest for eternity. When we read on, and we will hear more of Abraham, of Sarah, of all of the other rest of them, and this morning of Abel and Noah, or Enoch and Noah. When you read these things, we don't read it and think, I need to be more like them in my efforts to please God. No, you read it and you think, I live in faith as they did, to the same God who keeps his promises. We are appointed to the object of our faith. Let's witness to that faithful living and dying. See that in Abel and then Enoch. Faithful living and faithful dying. Abel, then Enoch. Abel, verse 4. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain. By faith, he offered to God. Note the order. It was by faith he offered. What was the solitary promise that Abel had? Cast your mind back to Genesis 3 and Genesis 4 there. Adam and Eve, the first man and woman. And to Abel's mother, God promised there would be an offspring of man who would bruise the head of the serpent. That was it. That was it. Now, no doubt he was told of God's provisions of life, of death, of covering, of not abandonment. No doubt he was told by his father and mother about how the Lord did not strike them dead at that moment for the disobedience, but provided for them a covering. But it was so slender and so little compared to what we have. And yet, Abel trusted God. The Lord had regard for him, and then Abel trusted the Lord, and that the Lord would save. And that marked him out from his brother. Marked him out from his brother. Genesis chapter 4 tells us that the Lord had regard for Abel. And so from that thankful heart, Abel offers acceptable sacrifices, unlike his brother Cain. What does Abel offer? The firstborn from his flock. Even that, a foreshadowing of the once for all sacrifice for sins, the offering of the Lord Jesus Christ. What did Cain offer? Well, he offered his crops. He didn't believe. The Lord had no regard for him. And we know how it goes. Abel was murdered by Cain, the first martyr. That though he died, we're reminded here by the author that Abel still speaks of that justified sinner, counted righteous, whose faith was in the promise of God. Next, faithful, that's faithful living. What about Enoch? By faith, Enoch lived. Whatever small manner of the promises of God had been revealed, it was enough for Enoch too. He walked with God, we're told in Genesis 5 and 22. Another translation, he pleased God. He lived an upright and righteous life. Now, why was that? Was it his first upright and righteous life that justified him before the Lord? No. He had faith. He trusted in the God of promise. He relied on the Lord, and that resulted in a faithful living and a faithful dying. And that from Genesis 5 and 24. He was taken. Enoch, one of the two in history, who did not see death but were taken by the Lord. There is still to come a generation of Enochs. Maybe this generation, if the Lord will so will, who will not see death, but through faith, indeed, will see witness with their own eyes the parting of the clouds and the Lord Jesus Christ descending, and so not know death. Verse 6 reminds us of the nature of faith again, doesn't it? And without faith, it's impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. The author is not saying that faith in and of itself pleases God. The point is that without saving faith in the promise of God, you cannot please God with anything that you do in your life. Yet Abel and Enoch had faith by the gift of God. And God was going to promise, and indeed we would save them. And they responded, they lived in obedience, upright. Friend, if you're not trusting as they did, if you're not trusting in the person and the work of the Lord Jesus, now fully revealed, then There is no faithful living, there is no faithful dying, there is no reward, there is no hope without him. And for those of us who are trying, I looked at friends here, maybe who have faith as small as a mustard seed, be encouraged in our faithful living that God keeps his promises. God keeps his promises. I have opportunity in ministry, as you might imagine, to draw alongside folk who are on a little bit in life, who are older. And there is no... it does not get easier. It does not get easier. There's no easy retirement, is there? There's no easy, faithful living in latter life. I've seen with you, I've seen challenges after challenges that come. The Lord expecting and from you and giving you more in your later life with health, with your family's health, with circumstances that perhaps you never even dreamed that you would have to deal with, or that you never had on your plate in earlier years. And yet we are called to faithful living. And perhaps those early years giving a solid foundation of sermons, of Bible reading, of faithful living, drawing near to God in those harder years of your life. And again, your testimony to me is of how God is faithful in new and unexpected ways, of how communion with him is deeper than you've ever known previous, and that you know that God has given his son, kept his promises, kept his people, and is keeping his people, and will return. And I encourage you in that, to the faithful living, the faithful living. Finally, a faithful response. Briefly, look at that faithful response in verse 7 of Noah. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By faith, Noah trusted the promises of God. He believed the Lord. Even when it looked, even through those terrible events of the flood, Noah was trusting the Lord that one day it would rain and keep raining. He built that ark for the saving of his family, witnessing even to the world around him of God's saving way. They'd have been saying, Noah, what are you doing? Noah had faith. So Noah was counted as a heir of righteousness. Noah knew that the Lord was going to judge the world, and he trusted God's promise to deliver him and his family. That warning still cries out today. There is a final judgment to come. Noah believed the warning then. Do you believe God's word now? Do you accept it as it says here, that there is a perishing for those who do not believe? Is Christ the object of your faith? Is he the ark for you and your family this morning? What an opening passage. Do you have faith? I'm not asking you to leap blindly in the dark. I'm not asking you to rely upon a feeling. I present the contents of faith, the knowledge of faith, based on what God's revealed factual truth is in the Word. So then, is the Lord Jesus your hope? Have you embraced him alone, forsaking all others? True faith looks to him and is found then in faithful living, drawing near to God in all the times of her life. Faithful living to faithful dying, knowing that eternity is spread out before us, the gift of God through the death and the rising of his Son. We pray for that faithful response this morning amongst us. Let's pray, shall we? Let's pray. Let's pray. Oh, our Father, how we pray, Lord, for those who are listening and hearing of the doing and dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, that they would so be drawn into saving union with him by your Spirit. Lord, we thank you for the knowledge of your word, the content of our faith, that it's true. And pray, oh Lord, that you would aid us in the hard times, in the good times, to lean upon Christ Jesus. Lord, remember our congregation before you. Remember those who grieve and mourn. I think particularly, Lord, of the McBride family, and also the Foy family. Lord, those also, Lord, in recent weeks who've been bereaved as well, Lord, we remember them. We pray, Lord, even as what we discussed here this morning concerning faithful living and faithful dying of the world to come, Lord, that there would be that rest upon Jesus Christ. There would be that comfort received. Remember those who are in hospital, those who are recently out. Lord, how things do not seem to get easier. And yet, Lord, you equip us, Lord, so beautifully and so wonderfully. Lord, we could not imagine, Lord, the wonders that you have done in our life and how you are a faithful, promise-keeping God. Lord, we ask, O Lord, for that greater sense of the assurance of that and that growth in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ amongst our people. Lord, remember our elder Lex as they prepare, Lord, for the service in June. Lord, remember, Lord, our preparations for the Lord, even next week, that will be a blessed time together, Lord, and with picnic. And Lord, we think of outreach to come with the men and the motors evening, Lord, with the Holly Bible Club, Lord, with the summer spreading out before us. Lord, as we catch our breath even in these weeks and prepare for, Lord, the summer, we ask for strength and rest, Lord, and vision for that which you would do amongst us. Lord, we thank you for the tithes and the freewill offerings, Lord, even that people have given, Lord, this morning, and Lord, faithfully, that enables and supports this work. And we pray, Lord, for the Kirk Session and Committee, that you'd grant to them wisdom in the use for the glory of your kingdom here. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, we're going to end our time. We're going to sing a lovely hymn. I hope it's your prayer. It's mine. Great is thy faithfulness.
Thank you.
now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and evermore. Amen.